Isaiah 53, and I just want to give a word here, and then we're gonna respond to that with a song to close with Tyler. But it's a word that's really heavy on my heart. It was strong on my heart yesterday, and I'm real concerned about the very inner values of our hearts because of a couple things that are coming down the pike. Specifically, I'm concerned because I think the blessing of God is about to break out in answers to prayers like we've never seen before. I think that the year 2015 and what's coming is going to be an amazing time of just blessing at multiple levels, at a personal level, at a corporate level, in all kinds of ways. And from what I read in the scriptures and what I know about people's lives, we often don't steward blessing very well. Sometimes we often get focused on the blessing instead of the blessor. And because our hearts are not in the right places. Also, I know that there's great tyranny from the enemy coming. There's great angst and attack coming. We've had attack, but I know more is coming. And that can happen right at the same time. You get the blessing from God, and here comes the rough stuff from the enemy that will cause us to fear and buckle under in unbelief if we do not watch it. And I am concerned that we do not have hearts that can weather that storm. And lastly, I'm concerned about the fickle praise of people that happens around us that often ends up in rejection within our lives. All of us have experienced rejection at some level. Rejected in family, rejected in friends, rejected on our jobs, whatever it be. But rejection comes, and I'm telling you, more of that is coming. More things happening in relationships that are troublesome and that bring all kinds of challenge to our hearts. And if our hearts are not set right, we will end up being bitter. We're going to end up being unloving. We're going to take rejection. We're going to spend a ton of time trying not to be rejected, insulating ourselves, and not taking the risk of love and faith in relationship. Or we're going to be bitter about the rejection that comes to us as we inevitably will get hurt by people's weaknesses. I'm concerned about these three things. I'm concerned about them because I think the values in our hearts have been discipled into us by America. Now, I don't want to preach a bang on America again deal. I want you to know at 47, I'm more thankful for America than I've ever been in my life. But I feel more the fear of the Lord about where I've grown up ever than I ever have in my life. I feel the danger of what's going on because certain values are discipled within us that really set our hearts on a certain course. In fact, I had a quote I sent out last night. I think we've got this, Dina, a quote by George Mueller. It says, "A servant of God has but one master. And it ill becomes the servant to seek to be rich and great and to be honored in that world where his Lord was poor and mean and despised." It ill becomes the servant, God's people, to seek in this age, to make it their motive, to be rich, to end up having greatness and trying to be honored when the Lord Jesus, our King, was actually in this age poor and mean, and he was despised and rejected. Our values are often opposite of what our King's values are. And because of that, it sets up a situation where we will be unloyal to the Lord when blessing comes, we'll be unloyal to the Lord when trouble comes, and we'll really be unloyal to the Lord when trouble in relationships come through rejection and those various things. I'm so stirred by, in this season, the communications from Gabriel, the angel, showing up and communicating with people. We talked 2 weeks ago about how the angel showed up and talked to Joseph, and he's got a pregnant, engaged woman, you know, there, and the angel says, don't put her away, don't divorce her, don't break this thing, because what's in her is conceived of the Holy Spirit. In fact, giving the name Jesus, because he's going to save people from their sins. What a glorious statement about him. Then Zechariah, we talked about last week, where the angel Gabriel shows up and says, your barren old wife is now going to have a baby. And it's going to be amazing. He's going to prepare a way for the Lord as he comes. And it'll be an amazing ministry, stunning stuff. And then the next time the angel Gabriel shows up is to Mary. And there's Mary, and we see the encounter in Luke chapter 2, I believe it is. The angel shows up and begins to, or Luke 1, he shows up and says, greetings, highly favored one, to Mary. And he begins to unpack glorious things about the baby that is inside her during this crazy thing of a virgin birth. He says that the baby within her would be great, that he would be called the Son of the Most High, that he would end up being a ruler on David's throne, and there hadn't been one for centuries. And in fact, he would have an eternal kingdom. He would be a king eternally, and he would be called the Son of God. Can you imagine you're a poor teenager in Nazareth, and you get this kind of communication from an angel about the baby that you're carrying that came when you were a virgin? I mean, it's just, it's off the charts. And you hear this astounding stuff that the hope of Israel, they've been longing for a ruler to come. They've been longing for liberation from enemies and for their national pride to be reestablished by God bringing the prophesied Messiah. And all of a sudden, this angel who stands in the presence of God said, it's in you. Christ, the Christ is in you. And he will be great. He'll be the Son of the Most High. He'll be the Son of God. He's going to reign on a throne and get the kingdom going again. That would be stunning and amazing. It would take you a while, I think, to get over that and to process that. We move down the story, though, a little bit further, and Jesus is born. He's 8 days old. Mary and them get him circumcised. They do the ceremonial stuff, and they go into the temple, and they see a guy named Simeon. And this begins a trail of unpacking what the passageway will be for Jesus to greatness. And you need to listen this morning, because you're destined for greatness. You are. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, you're destined to rule and reign on planet Earth eternally with heaven here. You're going to be richer than you could ever fathom as you rule and reign with the King of the whole globe. Greatness, greatness is before you. But I tell you, there's a passageway to that. There's a passageway to that that doesn't involve your effort and your pride and your desire to be rich. It's going to involve the cross. This happens with Jesus as we begin to see him as a baby. They go into the temple, and this old man named Simeon had been given a promise by the Holy Spirit, you're not going to die until you lay eyes upon the consolation of Israel. So here come Mary and Joseph in with this kid, and he sees him, and his spirit leaps within him, and he grabs the child, and he begins to prophesy and says to Mary and Joseph, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and the rising of many in Israel. He will be a sign that is opposed. And by the way, Mary, a sword will pierce your own soul also, so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. We start to see some information that is not just the baby's going to be great. What we see is that this baby is going to be a controversial figure, that he's going to be a suffering figure, and that he's going to be opposed at every point and be rejected. And this is a stunning thing that Mary had to go through, and that his suffering would even pour over into her heart and into her life. And what we see then is Jesus grow up, he does his ministry with the disciples, and he continually interjects into the boys, especially at times of real great ministry. He'll say, now listen though, you need to know, I'm going to be betrayed, I'm going to be crucified, beaten and crucified, and I will raise from the dead. These guys, you can read the text, they had trouble processing this information. They're into, he'll be the king forever, he'll reign forever, he'll give them liberty. That's cool. But that he would have to go through that suffering, that passageway to get there, was not cool with them, because their hearts were not set right. Judas wanted money, Peter wanted fame, James and John are arguing and wanting mama to come so they can be at the right hand of the throne. He's got disciples who want to be rich, who want to be great and make a name for themselves. And he's got to work on them. They can't process that the passageway to resurrection life and reigning life is through a painful crucifixion and death. So he's constantly reminding them of these things. This all fulfilled the prophecies that are given in Isaiah chapter 53. If they would have, you know, had discernment about the word of God, and even the Pharisees, it had been prophesied that he was despised, the Messiah. He was rejected by men. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and is one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, cursed, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that has brought us peace. And is by his wounds we are healed. And what we see here is that Isaiah, 7 centuries earlier, said that the Messiah was actually going to pass through a pathway of pain and being despised and being rejected. The global leader that would be globally worshipped would first have to be globally rejected and go through this pain. It's a stunning thing. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9 says, "But we see him, Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, crowned with glory and honor because of suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone." What we see here is that Jesus was going to liberate the death race. But he couldn't liberate the death race until he himself experienced that death himself. Jesus is so soberly set. There's one place in Luke that says he set his face like flint on Jerusalem, and specifically on Calvary and Golgotha. Can you imagine, and I know we think Jesus was never tempted, but he was. Jesus is the rightful king. He's going to be the global king. And multiple times in his ministry, he's got everybody so stirred up, it says in one place, they were by force going to come and make him the king. I mean, he's got people worshiping him, following him. This is everything that's going to be. But he's got the wisdom to know what time he's in. And he constantly slipped away from those times or changed the conversation. You guys want a king that heals you and just feeds you. You got a wrong heart. You need to eat my flesh and drink my blood if you want to have life. And then he would talk about his own death and his own crucifixion. Listen to me. Here's my point for you today. And here's the George Mueller quote again. It is opposite of what we ought to be, to in this life have inner heart values that want to be rich and famous and great and well known, when our Savior chose the way of being despised and rejected and poor. I'm asking you this morning because I know some things, I feel like I know some things that are coming up in 2015. As we're getting our hearts ready, there is great blessing coming, there's great trial coming, and there's great turbulence in relationships coming, more than we've ever seen of all those three. And I'm wondering, do you have a heart that in the midst of those can stay loyal to Jesus? There's no way you'll be able to do that unless you have a heart that's willing to embrace the cross, willing to suffer, willing to go through that rejection and that grief for the sake of the glory of his name. You got to decide, are you going to get yours here on this side, or are you going to get it when Jesus is reigning forever? I know this, and I said it before, I'm going to be rich and so are you. We're going to rule and we're going to reign. I'm going to have a body that's got no more sickness. That's coming up for me. It's a great day ahead and a great inheritance, but this is not that day. This is a day of war. We're laying hold of portions, deposits of the inheritance by the grace of God, but we're warring in an age where an enemy is raging against the enemy, against the Lord's glory. And you've got to decide, am I going to embrace this thing, or am I going to try to avoid it at all cost? So many are trying to avoid the cross in their own life. And when you avoid the cross in your life, trouble that comes because of Jesus, when you avoid that, you're avoiding a resurrection experience. There is no resurrection. There is no reigning without going through the cross. And I know all of you've got certain amounts of trouble. I'm concerned about the state of our hearts. And I don't mean it as a judgmental thing, but I mean this. I think we have been being subconsciously discipled by our culture all of our lives. And in and inside our hearts, we've got values that are primarily about staying safe, having a certain amount of pleasure, and surviving without crashing and burning and being embarrassed. And along the way, I'd love it if people applaud at me. And those values will not do in these last days where we're called to loyally follow Jesus. I'm concerned about your now. I'm concerned about your next year. I'm concerned about the years that the Lord might give you that are the last years, I think, on this planet as the end of the age culminates and we come toward that day. And what my challenge for you is this, is that you would pray, Holy Spirit, would you unhinge my heart from values that are built around me, and would you build in my heart a love to embrace the life of the cross? Would I be okay with the rejection of man? Would I be okay with the sufferings financially, with the stuff that happens around? Would I be able to embrace that with praise and with joy, knowing that there's resurrection on the other side? I've been basking in, and I encourage everyone to do this, missionary biographies. My heroes are not the guys of today that write the books and do the conferences. My heroes are the missionary stories. It's stunning. From the 1700s, all through church history, where people gave their lives and sacrificed everything for the glory of Jesus. I take those stories and I let them sober up. It's like a big drink of coffee to an alcoholic. I let them sober me up about the values within my life. Just lately, I've been reading about two missionaries that went to the New Hebride in the 1700s, with the New Hebride Islands, which were cannibal islands that were out in the sea. And they were stirred up in Scotland to go to these islands. And we've talked about it before. One of them is named John Patton. Another guy actually went before him. And there were multiple islands speckled in this area where no gospel had gone before. In fact, a couple of these guys went after they had heard that a couple missionaries and businessmen landed on the shore, were clubbed to death and eaten immediately. And they were so stirred by the gospel, they got on boats and took what were hellish trips. They're not flying in a plane. I mean, it takes months to get where they're going. There's disease on the deal. They get to these islands, get off. One of the guys' wife is pregnant during the journey. They get there. Within just a couple months, she's due with the baby, has the baby. It's a baby boy. And the missionary guy, John Patton, has to bury his wife and the baby boy because they both die from diseases that were given to them, probably malaria, as they were bitten by mosquitoes and those various things. And there he is on an island alone, and not at night. He's buried his wife and his baby, and he's there with cannibals that have eaten other people, and he's hearing the shrieks at night of the demonic worship services that would go on, where they would do weird stuff with animals. Or if a man would die, and he would die for some reason, it was a tradition. You had to go and catch the wife and strangle her and kill her and then push them both off into the ocean so that their spirits would go together. Demonic darkness everywhere. And this guy stayed. He stayed for 4 years and kept preaching the gospel. Multiple times they tried to kill him. He's got a wife in the grave and a baby in the grave, and he stayed for the glory of Jesus, suffering. He gets sick multiple times. He's surrounded multiple times with spears and clubs. A couple of the times, supernaturally, cries out the name Jesus, and somehow he is delivered from them and gets out from this and stays for 4 years until a ship comes and takes him back. He goes back, tells his story to everybody of what happened, marries him another wife, gets on a boat, and goes back and spends 10 to 15 years on another island that he claimed for Jesus, and everyone on the island was saved within 10 to 15 years. During that time, he lost a couple more babies and buried them. He was sick himself. They had to overcome trouble of all kinds, as you can imagine. And he was a normal guy like you and I that didn't like to hurt, wanted to be well known, and would like his family to be happy and safe. That's that guy. But for some reason, something got in his heart, and he decided that the glory of Jesus and the salvation of the heathen were worth more than his comfort, worth more than him being well known, worth more than even his family's lives. Now, you might question that, and there are Christian books out there, God help us, that would question that. Because we have soaked into an age that's primarily about God makes me safe and God makes me happy. And this is not the gospel. Go ask the apostles about that gospel. They will not even know what you're talking about. But Americanization of a gospel and a God who can get me through my trouble and get me to what I want, when really my God is what I want and not that God. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? Something got to happen in our hearts. And I'm so concerned. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm passionate about our hearts being free. Because you will not steward the blessing of God, the trouble of the enemy, and the trouble in relationships with loyalty to Jesus if your heart is about being well-known, famous, happy, and pleasurable. I'm telling you, one of the worst things that can happen to you is you get rich. One of the most dangerous things that can happen to your soul is that you get rich. May God make some of you rich and then give you a heart to supply for missions. But I'm telling you, poverty is dangerous, but riches are dangerous. Being rejected by people is dangerous because you get bitter and nobody likes you. I'm telling you, the applause of man is devilishly dangerous. If your heart is not set on the glory of God and on bearing all things for Him and giving everything to Him and deciding, I'm not going to live for levels of pleasure and levels of survival. I'm going to give my life on this side for an investment program because it's all going to get very good, and this is my one shot at giving myself fully for the glory of God. Where's your heart today? Where's your heart today? I'm not asking for a legalistic response. I'm asking you to agree with the Holy Spirit who wants to set you free from the thing that's really our problem, which is not our money or lack thereof, which is not our suffering or lack thereof. Our real problems are inside our hearts. It's our values. We've got a loving Father who wants to be glorified and wants us to have maximum pleasure on planet Earth through the process of self-sacrifice and living for the glory of our God. He can do this. He can transform our heart. If you this morning feel conviction in your heart, I spend most of my time thinking about how to deal with my boredom. I spend most of my time thinking about how to get more money so my family can do something more. God can deliver you from that. You think you need delivered from the trouble that's keeping you from those things. You really need delivered from those things is what you need delivered. The desire for those things. I'm telling you, in these last days, it's going to take people who are surrendered, who've given their heart and said there's something worth more than me being comfortable. There's something worth, listen, I think we all can admit the main reason that we struggle in evangelism, what is it, everyone? It's fear of man. I don't want to be despised and rejected. Why else would I hold in the greatest news on the planet while somebody's headed to an eternal hell? It's not logical. I know you've thought about it, God. This is not logical. My most favorite news is Jesus saved me. I want everybody to know it. Then I get around a guy at Dylan's and I'm like, I get around my neighbor and see him in the yard. My heart starts beating. My neighbor, oh my gosh, I want to say, how do I do it? How do I? Because it's contested area, but it's because we're so scared to death. There's demonic stuff happening to keep us from that. But I tell you, people have burst through that wall, and it's only a people that say, I embrace rejection. I embrace being despised. I'll totally take it and make it my friend. I care not what they think of me. I care for the glory of my God and for the salvation of that soul. And that's what happened with some of these guys. The guy that went to the cannibal deal is he had one old man. If you remember that. One old minister guy said to this young man who was 30, going to go to the cannibal islands, you can't go. You've got an inner city ministry in Glasgow that could do so much good. You'll be eaten by cannibals. Does anybody remember what he said? He said, listen, you're about to be food for worms yourself. I'm going to be food for worms myself. Whether I'm eaten by cannibal or I die, whatever, I want to go out living for the glory of God. That's a pretty good answer. I'm going to give myself to this thing with all of my heart and all of my life, and I'm going to get over the fear of rejection. And I want to say something. Amy and I were talking about this. We're talking about it because we felt I'm in a bizarre job where I receive acceptance and I receive rejection, you know, on a regular basis. And there's measures and seasons of it. Everybody's struggling with it. Nobody likes rejection. I mean, anybody want to raise their hand, they just love rejection? Yeah. You don't like it at home. You don't like it from your friends. You don't like it anywhere. And I know it's been painful. I know it's been painful. But I'm telling you, Jesus was the most rejected and still is the most rejected person on the planet. And he embraced that by the rejectors so that he could pay for the rejectors' sins. And so I'm asking, would you receive the rejection of others and continue to love them through that for the glory of God? I'm asking you in this season as I end, and Tyler, come on up here, buddy. I don't know if it's Tyler and Sherry or Tyler or somebody. I want to sing this song. I'm asking you to make a fresh embrace of the cross of Christ. The cross of Christ changes everything. It changes everything. It turns your world upside down. It's where you decide, I go down, I'm not going to make the effort to go up. I'm going to bow down, I'm going to embrace this, and I'm going to trust the Lord. Come trouble, come shame, come prospering, come fame. Doesn't matter to me, I'm going to be used for and by His glory. And so I want us to just take a moment this morning because it's so soberingly serious. that you would bring your hearts before Jesus. And you would ask him, what are the core values in my heart that motivate me to thinking and action? This is where the rubber meets the road, everybody. You can memorize 50,000 verses and never deal with the motives of your heart. The Holy Spirit's come to change the motives of our heart, to cause us to care for God's glory more than ours, for his riches more than the earth's, and for us to fully surrender. And so I want to ask you, if you will, we ready, buddy? I want us to sing this song that you know, Jesus, I my cross have taken. And I just want Tyra, I want you to stay seated, and I want us to really look at the words. Please sing it if you can sing it. If you just need to meditate it, meditate it. But just see where the Lord might put your heart in this. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that you would do a good work of liberating our hearts from us today. Forgive us that we've had different heart motives in our life than you've had. I pray for a great hope of the age to come. It would just thrill our hearts. Lord, I pray for sobriety in the age that is right now. Thank you for our provision. Thank you for our money. Thank you for our families. Thank you for the freedom we meet in. But I pray in this place that you would transform hearts, that you might have loyal hearts as the seasons change. Bold hearts that would not be gripped in slavery by the fear of man's opinion. Thank you, Jesus, for your model, that what your Father thought of you was paramount. It was everything. And you could resist the fickle praise and the angry rejection and be satisfied with the Father's affirmation. Lord, help us to embrace the cross as you did, in Jesus' name.